Order, order.
Parliament's adjourned for a fortnight, set to resume on Tuesday week, November the 17th. So it's been very quiet in the House this past week. Only one select committee met. That was the Finance and Expenditure Committee. They met on Thursday behind closed doors to discuss two bills. The first was the Infrastructure Bill. This contains a raft of amendments to various acts. Its purpose is to remove regulatory barriers standing in the way of construction of big infrastructure projects. The second was the Injury Prevention, Rehabilitation and Compensation Amendment Bill, better known as the ACC Bill, that was sent to the committee after its first reading in the week before the adjournment. Among committees meeting next week in Wellington, the Finance and Expenditure Committee will consider the Reserve Bank's Financial Stability Report. That'll be open to the public during the lunch hour here at Parliament on Wednesday. Meantime, with nothing else to report, Rhys Lyon looks at a feature of this Parliament, the amount of time it's spent under urgency.
In its first year, the National-led government has used urgency 56 times, clocking up over 200 hours, 206 hours to be precise. That compares to a total of just under 150 hours over all 3 years of the last Parliament, and that includes only 31 hours in its first year. National has used its time under urgency to pass some bills without sending them to a select committee, and more recently has moved urgency so as to begin debate on bills as soon as they are introduced, avoiding having to wait the mandatory 3 days between a bill's introduction and the debate on its first reading. That was the case in the last couple of weeks, as the government negotiated a majority for its ACC amendment bill before bringing it into the chamber. In those weeks, the time under urgency was mainly at the expense of Members' Day and Wednesday's general debate. However, due to agreements with the opposition, the government allowed urgency to be suspended so that question times could be held as scheduled.
That report from Rhys Lyon, and while it was as quiet as a mouse in the House this week, it was business as usual next door in the Beehive. Monday's Cabinet meeting was followed as usual by a press conference at which Prime Minister John Key had this to say about progress on repealing the Foreshore and Seabed Act.
We had a discussion and the first thing I'd say is there were no conclusions reached.
Mr. Key wasn't sure when he'd have something more definite to report.
I don't know when we'll be in position to tell you a bit more, but it's it'll be soonish in terms of being able to tell you more. That's basically what we're saying. Yeah.
Soonish could be as early as sometime next year.
It may be more in months. We may be able to say more about it earlier on, but it may be months. But I mean, obviously, it's something we'd like to see completed in 2010. If that was possible in terms of if there was a repeal and a replacement.
The Prime Minister said the debate was no longer over whether the Act should be repealed.
I mean, ultimately the debate is what does the replacement look like, and does it have widespread support of the people of New Zealand?
And even more importantly, support of their representatives in Parliament.
If ultimately we could get to a point where all parties in Parliament voted for replacement legislation, I think that would be a good thing. Whether it's possible, I don't know.
But maybe not impossible.
I think this is not as difficult as everyone says. I'm not saying it's not challenging, but it's not impossible.
Prime Minister John Key on progress towards meeting the Maori Party's call for the repeal of the Foreshore and Seabed Act. Stay tuned for further developments on that and for us when we return at the same time next week. I'm Tom Fruin, and this program is brought to you with funding from New Zealand On Air.